Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, this is Jack Nicholson, and you're listening to Jonah Radio. I was in Little Shop of Horrors.
Nailed it! Out here, it's just a little bit sweet, but I'll trip it out. Get
off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
Struck ground for that.
Valediction.
I don't understand. It's just fun. In defense of Coldplay.
What are we doing about partying or anything else?
Right. Thanks for, I don't know what Neil like needs at least an hour, I think, after work to really acclimate back to. This is Jonah Radio. Cash is here.
Hi, everybody. I'm
Neil,
here.
When do you show up?
I'm here as well.
Okay. I want to go straight into
treading
talking.
Water.
What?
I'm treading water.
Yeah, seems like it. I'm here, our guest. Before I introduce my guest, I want to say my mom found white shoes my size at Kohl's for $65.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Look at these Nikes.
The largest shoes I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Those are ginormous shoes.
Yeah. And they didn't waste any paint on that. That is like carved from the styrofoam. It's
This is like an old Beverly Hills man.
Yeah.
Wearing
those
some
are
shoes
Larry
to the CVS.
David.
These are Larry David shoes.
Sneaks.
I'm trying my best in 2020 not to care about wearing cool shoes that destroy my feet, which is the kind of shoes I love, are the kind of shoes that our guest
is wearing.
Now, she is one of the hosts of the Who Shot Ya Pod on the Max. When did that happen?
Shaking heads.
Earlier this year.
Really? Like a week ago? It's 2020. In January this happened?
I forgot what year it is. Sorry.
It's okay.
2019.
All right. No, it's fine. It's already, you know. Okay. She is the writer.
I host Switchblade Sisters.
Switchblade Sisters is the other one. That's right.
Yeah.
You also wrote Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Which came out in December.
2019. Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
Last year.
Snubbed
hit.
You this morning.
Yeah, I know. I woke up and I was like, no one woke me up with a congratulations. What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. No Golden Globes.
Yeah.
No.
Really thought I was going to get it. Yeah.
Just a DM from Joe Bob Briggs being like, oh,
fuck you. Thanks, Joe Bob.
Yeah, I know. What a sandbag.
I had to get up for this.
Now, here's a crazy thing about Black Christmas. I've tried to see it 3 times. The movie is cursed for me. I went.
Me too.
I went to go and try and see it when it came out, and I got the times wrong.
Oh man, I bet they changed the times on you.
Might have been. And then me and my friend were gonna go see it, and then he canceled last minute, and then I didn't feel like you know,
like
yeah.
He was gonna pick me up, and there was gonna be a whole thing. That didn't happen. And then last night, like after you said you were gonna do the box, I was like,
"What other friends do you have?"
What?
What other friends do you have?
He's lying. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a lot of friends.
Neil's got a new hat and a new outlook on life, and I'm not sure I like either.
I don't know if it's a new outlook.
Well.
It's an old outlook.
Yeah. I don't know. That's right. I was in the middle of a story.
Yes, third time.
And the third time, last night when you said you were going to do the podcast, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and find out where it's playing. And so I found out it was playing down in Southgate at the Regal Academy or the Regal Cinemas in Southgate. So I drove down to Southgate.
Turns out
Southgate.
It's like down.
He brought
like
a notebook.
710.
There's a lot of notes.
Okay. What?
Nothing.
Yeah. Wait. What's wrong?
I said he brought a notebook and the crowd had a lot of notes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because why? What is happening to you? What is happening to this?
I made a slightly racist joke, and then I was like, "Oh, I should really bail on that because it's
what
racist.
Was the racist joke?
It's you know Southgate at a horror movie. You get a lot of people that talk back to the screen.
Oh my God, Cash! It was a long way to go, but it also wasn't worth it.
Nope, not at all.
Oh my God! And so, people in Southgate, largely, I don't know. It's
so deeply uncomfortable.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
Oh no, it's bad.
See what happens when Neil establishes this vibe?
Oh yeah, no, you know what?
How is this on me?
Anyway, I get to the theater.
Fucking hell!
I get good to one, the theater.
Randy. Good one.
And there's this gigantic line because there's only one person selling tickets, and I look around and I can't see any like kiosks, like self-serve kiosks. And I'm getting there. It's like six. It's the movie starts at 6. I'm there at 5:50. I'm like, this is great. 20 minutes later, I'm trying to buy a ticket for the 6 o'clock, and the guy's like, I can't sell it to you. And he's like, you want one for the 7:45? I was like, you know what? Give me one for the 7:45. I'll just go to the 6. And he's like, well, that's not allowed. I was like, it'll be fine. And so I buy it for the 7:45. I grab my ticket and I start heading towards the theater, and like there's a ticket looker guy, and I'm like theater five, just trying to show him like which theater it is. And he's like oh, it's that way. And I go down, I go into the theater, and it's a different movie already in progress. I know clearly they were going to change the movies around, which is very common in the digital projection age.
I didn't know that.
And then so I tried to go into the other place, and the guy's like, oh, your movie's gonna be in theater five and 7:45. And then I waited another 20 minutes to try and get a refund.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I drove and I drove back home.
I feel like I should say thank you, but also like, what the fuck?
I don't know. Well, cursed.
I would like it if you got mad at him for asking for a refund. Though.
Like, you still bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Like, it's on the... You're pointing at your microphone?
I'm pointing at your microphone.
To hold the microphone.
I'm doing a great job.
No, you're not. I did my best. Anyway...
Thank you.
I tried. I did my due diligence. Remember when you used that one a minute ago? Someone that you've been like doing the Who Shot Ya, Switchblade Sisters, and you've been writing, and then this was like kind of your first high profile script, right?
Yeah.
And,
weird.
And then and you were excited because you were a fan of the original.
Yeah, it's great. The original is amazing. But then if you love the original, well, you're fucked.
Right. Exactly. It's was there certain points where you're kind of like, why are we even calling this Turn 'Em Off? Why are we even calling this Black Christmas? Was there a certain point where you're like, it's like this story is so much of its own.
Well, I mean, we were keeping like the kind of original kind of intent or like spirit of it, but also we were kind of prepared that like maybe the rights would fall through.
Oh wow!
Oh okay.
And then you know like we've got them, but also like maybe they don't want this take, and so like maybe it's gonna fall through. So maybe we have to call it something else eventually. You know,
I like that covering little CYA action on like. If we're going to put this much effort into it, I don't want it to go away if the name goes away, right?
Yeah, so it was a thing, you know.
Yeah.
The whole process was so much faster than anyone makes movies or should make movies.
Really? Yeah. So it's almost like that scene in Ed Wood where it's like, he's like, I need a script in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it comes out 3 months in Tulsa kind of thing.
Yeah, like I came on April 1st and it was in theaters December 13th.
Holy shit.
And we shot in New Zealand with mostly New Zealand crew and mostly New Zealand cast.
Wow.
And it was pretty fucking crazy. So yeah, it was, we went through two different composers. We went through two different editors in that time. And the post process was not that fucking long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of things. It was just like, okay, if you're not game to get this done, then we need someone else who is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have time. You just have to get it done.
That's
so, yeah.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
And, just like, and the thing is, it's like when people were starting to get upset about it, I was confused because it's like any slasher movie, and I like the original Black Christmas, but it's just, you know, like any of the slasher movies of that time, it's just like, it's like there's a bunch of cool little set pieces where people get killed, and then and then you can put on any kind of story or any kind of, you know, characters onto it.
Yeah.
So, that was the thing that made me kind of suspect of like the naysayers, you know.
Well, I mean, we'll say that we are the only the second studio horror film ever that's both written and directed by women.
Okay.
Ever in the history of
really?
Cinema that is a studio film. So,
that's,
yeah.
That's crazy. Insane.
So.
if am I missing if I ask who's the first?
Jennifer's Body.
Oh, okay. Which was
10 years ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Also got the same treatment that ours did, which was people hating it before it came out.
Yeah. And now it's like regarded as it's like, everyone's just like, Jennifer's Body. I mean, where was everybody?
It's like, where were they? It's just like, well, I don't know. I remember when Jennifer's Body came out, I was like such a cool girl for a little while where I was just like, oh, because like if you love horror and you love nerdy shit, then you're just like hanging out with a bunch of dudes who are trying to tell you what to think and do.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool, I would love to date someone someday. So like, sure, I'll listen to what you say.
Yeah.
And they were like, Jennifer's Body isn't even horror. And I was like, really? It's not. I didn't see it, you know?
Yeah. I don't like that girl. She's popular.
Yeah. Ooh, gross. We hate them.
The guy from OC's in it.
Oh, fuck. So yeah, we got kind of the same treatment. But with the internet, the reappraisal is actually going faster where we're getting, like, we had a New York Times article. It was just like, actually, this is a great movie. And we're like, we think so. Yeah.
It's time to take a second look at the Black Christmas remake.
A week later, there was a reappraisal. We're
enough
like, wow.
Internet years have passed.
Yeah. That's insane.
Internet minutes.
And, you know, here's the thing. Your remake of it... coming out made me realize that there was another one and I had no idea.
Black Xmas, yeah.
Black 2006. Xmas.
Yeah.
I had no idea that even existed.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead leading the cast in that one.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a
But it was it's Xmas. Like it's you, that's the name of the movie.
You guys
Xmas.
Remember the 2000s and how crazy shit was in the 2000s. We're just like Rob Zombify everything.
Yes, Rob Zombified. We all, you know what happened in the 2000s? Tumblr came along and made us hate vowels. We just started getting rid of all the vowels. We don't need E's.
Search engine optimization.
Yeah. It's still really exciting that it came out and like it's like you kind of like or
that timeline. Blows my mind. The fact that you, that's incredible.
And if that's known too, it almost seems like that's a good thing to hear. Like, it's like when it comes to a writer, it's like, well, it's like shit, fucking April wrote that script in no time. We should just get her to write this thing.
Give me 2 months instead of one.
Yeah.
See what I can do. It'll be great, you know? So... I still think it, like, despite all of the problems that we had, especially being in New Zealand where Avatar 2 through 38 is filming simultaneously, all cast and crew that we wanted, they were like, oh, actually, they're on Avatar. You're like, no, you don't say. On a tiny island with a very small film infrastructure, they're all working on those movies. Wow.
Yeah, and it's all probably a ton of the same people that worked on The Hobbit and before that, the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
You know who we got?
Who'd you get?
Everyone who worked on Xena Warrior Princess.
Hey, there you go.
Hey.
Those people can move. Like,
that's a thing.
That's like fucking Peter Jackson will take a week in your pass. Xena Warrior Prince are gonna hose it down and get you home in time to get happy hour. Those guys know how to work.
They get it. Like TV. It was so funny. We were like going thrifting with a bunch of the New Zealand crew, and you know, a bunch of them are Xena Warrior Princess stuff. And we kept going into thrift stores like along these long, like tiny country highways on the ocean, and there was always Xena Warrior Princess memorabilia that was for sale for like hundreds of dollars. There was like one that was like a mace that was used, you know, and it was just like kind of a shitty mace. But I remember the line producer
the swinging thing with spikes
on it.
Oh wow!
And there was one. It was like $150, and the line producer from Xena Warrior Princess came up and looked at it and went, "I've got two at home. I'm not paying that." And I'm like, "Okay."
That's there's nothing like that. Like in Hawaii, nobody cares about. Like Magnum PI stuff, Hawaii 5-0 stuff, Lost memorabilia. No one gives a shit. In Hawaii, like if you're not like playing, you know, reggae music, they do not care about you. I remember like I was like when Meltdown came out, like I was like kind of like, hey, pretty big deal. I'm on a TV show. I'm from Hawaii. It's a very small place. And then, like, all my friends back home were just like, yeah, but Danny was on a Pizza Hut commercial. A local Pizza Hut commercial. Not even like a national. It's like this guy we knew was in a Pizza Hut commercial, and they're like, he's fucking killing it, dude. It's like he still lives with his parents.
What's Danny doing now?
I don't fucking know. He runs an Instagram.
He runs a Pizza Hut.
He runs an Instagram.
Well, he just got a job on the next couple of Avatars, so it's really working.
Yeah,
he's commuting between Hawaii and New Zealand.
I love the idea of New Zealand, of where it was like everybody, like you stock up on Xena Warrior Princess stuff, and then you leverage all your money into it, and then Lord of the Rings rolls through town, and there's all sorts of better looking like fake weapons mm-hmm. and stuff that. You're fucked.
Yeah,
you're in Xena. Hey, you got Lord of the Rings now.
Well, we're gonna take a break after we come back. Are you gonna stick around after the break, April?
I'm gonna try.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. We'll we promise to bicker less after we play a song. I went to a show that Cash found out about.
Mm-hmm.
What?
A show that Cash found out about.
It was that day you got your hat and you were real tuckered out.
Yeah, you were real tuckered out from getting that new hat.
Yeah, I got a new hat.
It was at the All-Star Lanes in Eagle Rock. And then it's like all these bands were doing cover band sets. And it was really great. You saw the flyer. Cash sent it to both of us.
Yeah, I saw the flyer. I didn't really read it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
you had a hat in your eyes.
Yeah, I got a hat.
A band, Cosmic Kitten, did a great Iggy Pop and the Stooges. So some Iggy Pop songs, some Stooges songs. Oh. When she started out, they started with Lust for Life, which is a tough song.
Yeah.
It's like a weird register, and he snarls a lot. And mm-hmm. she seemed a little out of place, but right when they got into Now I Want to Be Your Dog, and there was some kid, some skinny young kid with a big moppy hair that just started like jumping up and down in the front of the crowd, and then tore off his shirt and just started like punching his chest during the set, and you could see that she's like, this kid cannot out Iggy me. So she tore off her shirt, and then she really got into it, and it was a fucking amazing set.
Wow.
The band that played that set was Cosmic Kitten, and this is their song off their Lobotomy EP called Pavement. And more April Wolf when we get back.
Smaller giant fit. Kill my time just laying in my bed. Heart with Caramba! This is Bart Simpson, dude, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
Hey, all right, we're here with April Wolfsill. April, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Yeah, it's
how
great.
How you doing?
It's a great couch.
How far did you have to come?
From here?
Yeah.
This is like a... Like, I drove today, I never drive. It's a 5-minute drive, literally.
Oh, shit. Jesus.
Including parking. I live that close to here. So I'm going to be just outside all the time.
Yeah, come on.
Looking into the window. No, I don't want to. I just want to be outside all the time.
There's drama therapy next door.
Yeah, I saw that sign, drama therapy. I was like,
drama therapy?
What are we doing here?
I was thinking about that. I think it's basically, it's for easily bored therapists. They're like, make your shit more exciting. Dance while you tell it to me.
Do you have to do like Hamlet, like soliloquies all the fucking time?
What's that? What's that kind of like therapy where it's like you scream, like it's a certain type of like
scream therapy, I think.
Primal scream therapy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, enough of this doc talk. It's time for some rock talk in a segment that we call.
Give me a second.
That's right, it's time for music news. Cash, it's a compliment when I play with words and then you just get overcome. April, this is the portion of the show where we go into the world of spin.com and Consequence of Sound and Rolling Stone. But we go and we check out some of the stuff that's happening in the world of music.
Music news.
You've heard of fake news. This is music news.
Exactly. So it turns out Pearl Jam are gearing up for something new. Eddie Vedder posted a cryptic image, and what they're doing is they have a new album coming out called Gigaton, and what they are doing essentially is around five parts of the world they're doing these augmented reality pop-ups.
Okay.
Where fans can go and experience the album through augmented reality to get a taste of the album before it comes out.
So do you have to like watch the show through your phone or something?
I mean, that's what it
that's
is,
kind of what
right?
augmented reality is like you go someplace and then you hold up your phone
Don't
and there's a whole
something.
I'm sorry.
I'm just asking, do you have to watch the show?
Yes, you have to. Phone? Yeah. Okay. That you have to use your phone. I was trying to reframe that so it wasn't condescending. I don't think I could. That's a note going forward. I need to take.
Yeah. See, it's you go hold up your phone.
So everyone has to like go to the show and then.
It's not a show. It's just five different points around the world, like you know, coordinates that people can go to like then bring out their phone through, I guess, a Pearl Jam app of some sort.
So everyone has to like watch the show through their phone.
What do you know? It's
Pearl
not
Jam's
a show. It's like basically like an artist. It's an ad for their new album. You can get a taste of the new album.
But you have to like hold it up.
You have to hold it up, and you can see it. It's like some cliffs, and then it's like the album artwork essentially is in the street, and then you get to hear when you do that. You get to hear the album.
See, I thought I wasn't sure what augmented reality stuff because I kept thinking that it was like immersive theater, like a little bit like that.
Where, like Primal Scream
I was just
therapy.
Like, it would be so awesome if like someone kidnapped you to like take you to the Pearl Jam warehouse where you were subjected to whatever was happening on in the Pearl Jam
You're
album.
Subjected to Pearl Jam.
I was interested in that. I was like, cool.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like Never
Derek
Sleep.
Waters
what's that play thing?
Never Sleep.
Never Sleep, where it's like. It's like you experience the whole album by, you know, fucking roaming actors.
Yeah. You're locked in a box. You have to smell things.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Weird.
Come this way. I'm a better man.
Just smell things.
Don't go that way. That's where Jeremy is. Just a whole interactive play.
The whole interactive thing, the way you're doing it makes me think you do it for like corporate events and you just like, all right, who's the name of the boss that everybody hates?
Yeah.
This is going to be his den.
Yeah.
And like just the phoned in level of what was that? Psychodramatic plays. The thing we were talking about that everybody knew the name of. Never Sleep?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was an epic flame out from Cash Hartzell.
All right. Morrissey's still at it. Morrissey has a new single out called Bobby, Don't You Think They Know.
Is he talking, he's talking to a policeman there?
Yes, right. And it's his fucking album title. Now, as you know, Morrissey, he's not just a pretty British alt-right enthusiast. He used to be a very popular singer.
Sure.
Has been kind of destroying his legacy with racism past couple years or so.
Xenophobia,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his new album, Not a Dog on a Chain.
Oh, he doesn't like.
Which is like, that's that, to me, that sounds like it's like, think for yourself.
It's like, Safe Spaces too. Not a dog on a chain.
Not a dog on a chain, man. I don't listen to what the MSM feeds me. Not a dog on a chain. Are you a Morrissey fan? Were you ever a Smiths fan?
Yeah, I was a fucking huge Smiths fan.
I know. I had an a guess that you were.
There's a look about me.
Yes.
There's a look about me.
Yeah. I didn't want to just be like, you were probably, but yeah.
Just like invading every college bar and putting the Smiths on just to like bring just, everyone down. God. Like it's closing time and you're like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
It's
you're cute. You probably like Morrissey.
You like Morrissey, right? I never got into him, and then I got really into the Smiths, and I never was really able to transfer over to Morrissey.
When did you get really into the Smiths?
Probably like when I was like 18, 19, something like that.
Oh, okay, so not when I knew you.
I mean, I still like them. I still listen to them. Neil hates it because he calls it, anything that's like indie pop from the 80s, he calls it babysitter music.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's what babysitters listen to.
My babysitters listen to fucking metal, dude. Yeah. I don't know what your
Yeah, maybe you should get some cooler
to.
Babysitters, you dork.
Well,
that was such a weird flex. My babysitters.
Becky was fucking cool.
I still drove the truck home from dropping them off.
Wait, what?
I would drive my dad's car home.
You would drive your own babysitters home?
No,
you could drive and you needed babysitters?
My dad would drive the babysitters home and then I would drive the car back from the babysitters.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
When I was like 7.
That's a weird power struggle.
Yeah.
Would you ever tell your dad, it's like, Dad, next time, let me drive there to impress the babysitter. Then I could start getting her to listen to some metal instead of this.
Babysitters would like bathe me and stuff. That was like a whole.
What the fuck?
I'm struggling to come up with an age range when any of this would be appropriate. Like all of the things that you have mentioned would be appropriate. Because it seems like they all happened in one night. Did a babysitter bathe you and then you drove back that same night?
Were you a really tall child?
Yeah. How did you reach the pedals?
Yeah, I was pretty tall.
Wait, you were probably sitting on your dad's lap, right?
I held the steering wheel. He ran the pedals.
Okay, so you co-drove. That's a little more... Even then... Like the bathing and the driving on the same night.
I want to just like, you're not going to get anything more out of him.
I just, it's...
The more you needle him, the more he shuts down.
Yeah.
Do you feel, April, do you feel that like are you bummed that Morrissey turned out to be such a prick?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, but is it enough to like, it's like, here's the thing. It's the, you know, artist thing. Is he just a dick? So you can still listen to them. Do you still listen to like I don't
the
like,
old stuff?
I mean, can no, still like, but like, do you listen to Michael Jackson? Do you watch Woody Allen? Like, it's like it's that. It's like for me, it's like
I draw the line people, like raping children is like different than like.
Yeah, but explain okay, that yeah, to like
xenophobia.
Pop radio.
I'm not sure.
I was just trying to do art from artist stuff, and that was the two first. All right. I'm not saying anything wrong.
Well, I just like, does that mean I yeah. just because Bill Cosby went to jail, I have to give up chocolate cake?
What? Puddin' pops.
I can't eat those no more. I mean, I've been staying away from Subway ever since we found out about that one dude.
Okay. All right. Recently, Green Day announced that they're putting out a new album, and Billy Joe Armstrong said that he is interested in asking their fans if there's any big backyards or garages or church parking lots or barns that they can play in California.
Well, fun.
To do a thing. And I remember Metallica did that in the 90s. I remember those like MTV. You could write in.
They did like a Kmart parking lot.
Well, they did. And they did a bunch of the. There was one day I remember from high school. They did tower parking lots from like San Francisco down to San Jose. Every tower they went and played in the back of a truck and then drove off to the next tower.
Oh wow,
that's fun.
Traveling road show.
Mm-hmm. Be a lot quicker now because there's not so many towers up there.
Yes, it's just a show in Japan.
Yeah,
that's all that is now.
And maybe that thing on Sunset that's like the office building that still has the signs up. Yeah. Local references.
But that's like, and he also said like maybe a Denny's, which is kind of cute because he paid for the damages to the Denny's that the punk band that had a show in Denny's recently.
Oh, did he?
He paid for the damages that happened there.
Did you see the video from the Denny's punk rock show?
No, I only heard about it.
It's pretty.
Is it pretty great? It's worth looking up.
It's just
chaos. And you just see those Denny's hanging pendulum lights, like just fucking.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Those guys, like Green Day. I mean, I think a lot of people have, you know, vendettas against them because they like sold out or whatever. But they'd always been very supportive of the artists in Oakland.
Oh yeah,
like, yeah.
In Berkeley, like very supportive of everyone.
He, you know, like Billy Joe's the reason that Gilman's still open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Gilman Street still. I mean, like,
that should have been closed a long time ago. Sure, you're like, what the fuck? How is that still okay?
Yeah, they just did their first comedy show there ever. That the Hard Times. They put on a comedy show and Kyle Kinane performed it, and he said like the only joke that got a big laugh was like, he's like, this place is ridiculous. J Church can shoot up outside, but I can't drink a fucking beer. Or J Church can share needles, which is a very specific joke. Very good.
Local
hits that
references.
Niche though. Really hits.
Yeah,
it
really
it.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they've always done a pretty good job. But like the thing is, like Billy Joe, like even as Green Day broke, like the same year I think Dookie came out. No, Insomniac. Like there was a Pinhead Gunpowder, which was his band with the guy Aaron Comet Bus.
Yeah.
And that was on Lookout. And you know
what was the he had a side project, like a mask side project.
The Network.
The Network. That's right.
Yeah, and then there was Foxborough Hot Tubs was another one. Like, you know, you can get a lot of music done when you, I guess, on speed. I guess it's like the Beatles can attest to that.
It's like
Bob
speed
Dylan
and youth.
Can do that.
Yeah. Speed and youth, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So are you from the Bay Area?
No, I lived there for a short while. I was living in Oakland, so
nice.
Yeah.
Where in Oakland do you live?
God, I mean, should I tell you? It's still part of my tax forms. Eventually, I go back.
Oakland's fine.
Yeah, no.
During the next song break, you can ask her the cross streets and her social security number.
Yeah, it's Temescal, if you know that neighborhood, around the 42nd Street BART, that area.
I do. Okay.
And did you go to shows when you were there? Were you like, was it college age or?
No, it was post college, actually postgraduate school. And I went to so many shows and so many warehouse parties. I was drunk for a year straight.
Oh, nice.
Because Oakland is just party time nonstop. If you want to be anywhere listening to music, it's fucking everywhere.
Really?
There's dance parties nonstop every single night.
Famously, a terrible tragedy happened in Oakland.
That's the hard thing is like a lot of those folks who I met through that, they were part of that.
Oh shit.
I do know a couple people who were lost in that terrible tragedy.
Shit. Yeah,
and it's like still kind of taking a long time to get over all of that. Cause when I was there, it was just kind of like the halcyon days of like no rules, giant warehouses. Everyone's partying until 4 a.m. listening to bands. Random bands would show up and be like, I guess we're going to listen to you now.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
And it was just like,
so it wasn't just
so
like
fun.
Raves. It was just everything.
It was everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And every time Gravy Train would show up, you're just like, great.
Fucking
okay.
Gravy Train.
Obviously.
Gravy Train.
Like, yeah, they would always close something out. Cause they're just like, oh, I guess Gravy Train is here. I don't
shit. You know, I don't think I ever even planned to see Gravy Train, but they would come down to anytime there was like a party in Pedro, like in 4th Street, like they would show up, and I was like, fucking Gravy Train's gonna fucking play until the cops show up.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the whole deal.
Unfamiliar.
The 11 p.m. slot, and you know,
yeah, it's just so fucking no. In Pedro, that probably would have been the parties would go there because it was such a like there was gangs nearby, no one ever really wanted to call the cops on anybody on 4th Street. So the cops would never really come until like 2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like West Oakland, too. Yeah. Around like 2 or 3 is when things would really start hitting their crescendo, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. If I were to ask you guys, is David Byrne from the Talking Heads American?
Are we going?
Is he Canadian?
I'm
I feel like the question is leading.
He is now.
Isn't he German?
Oh,
he's dead now, right?
No, he's
David
not.
Byrne.
Not Berman.
No, not David Berman.
Oh.
From Silver Jews. David Byrne from the Talking Heads.
Because his grandma was in Something Wild with Jonathan Demme's grandma, and she had an accent.
Hmm.
So it made me wonder if she had immigrated from someplace.
From Scotland.
In Scotland?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's Scottish?
Yeah. And he so he moved here with his family when he was 8. And then he just recently decided to become an American citizen.
Oh, wow.
No shit.
Yeah.
What was it about the recent past that he was like, I have to hitch my path to America?
Yeah, I think he needed a bike permit.
Oh.
And it's like, it's a weird time, but maybe he's just because he wants to vote. Maybe, yeah, that's pretty much got to be it. What it is. It's got to be weird just being here, essentially being an American, benefiting from our love of music.
All right, let's just, yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, I saw this headline. There was a UK heavy psych band, and they're called Pigs, 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 Pigs.
Is that six pigs?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh. Any exclamation points behind
none.
Any of those? It's
there's
just
none.
Just a list of pigs.
Commas?
No commas. Just but the P is uppercase.
Okay, in all of them.
Yes.
So there, it's proper. It's proper nouns, guys.
But this is them. I just was, you know, sometimes when you think it's like I've seen all the crazy band names, someone overcomplicates and simplifies it at the same time.
Yeah.
How many people are in this band? Are there six of them in the band?
No, it's a five-piece.
You got an extra pick. Yeah.
And this is what they sound like. Just that new psych rock that's sweeping the world.
Not so bad.
Not so bad. Anyway, that's from their upcoming album, Viscerals. That's just a very, very... I thought something was wrong with my browser. When I saw
pigs.
Now, Cardi B wants
she's
to
a...
run for political office.
Oh, great.
Bronx-born rapper said she wants to become a politician because she really loves government. So she's thinking about going back to school and then trying to become a politician.
Did she give up music?
Didn't say. She just says something that she wants to do.
She'd probably do
both of it. I mean,
I guess.
You know, Pinkerton and Harvard both happened at the same time.
That's true.
Rivers Cuomo.
Sure.
I don't know much about Cardi B. I know she's pretty woke and pretty outspoken.
No, she's pretty woke.
She's out there.
I think she was...
Her John Legend seemed to agree on a lot of stuff.
She named herself after the alcohol.
What alcohol?
Bacardi.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was working at a strip club and she needed a strip name and she came up with that.
I think she is strategic and she knows how to get what she wants.
That's what we want.
I think that's a good politician. So fuck it. Go
that's
for
very
it.
True.
It's very Bernie Sanders like.
Yes. Like very just.
He spent a lot of time in
He is a big strip club guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before he became
Vermont?
Mayor of Burlington. He was in the strip club. Yeah.
Vermont. It's just took over from Portland. Strip club per capita.
Oh, shit. What is it called? There's a place in Rhode Island called Foxy Lady or something. Legs and Eggs.
Legs and Eggs?
Because they were open in the morning. You could get a breakfast buffet at a strip club.
Well...
You got to have your marketing. I mean,
I guess,
yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Or is it great? You don't know. The kitchen could be clean. It could be wonderful.
Yeah. It
I
could just happen to be.
It's not good.
Although I have heard some bad stories about strip club food in my lifetime, which makes me feel very bad for the strippers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Strip clubs.
It could just be, you never know. It's one of those things, like the things that are like diners, dives and drive-ins or whatever, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, they, like their friend had this, you know, gas station, but there was a kitchen, and it turns out that his cousin was a real good cook, and all of a sudden, this is the best barbecue you can get.
So you just
at a gas station.
Yeah. You just need that for strip clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're usually
this was not the Cates at Foxy Ladies.
Okay.
Wait, Foxy Ladies or eggs and legs?
Eggs and Legs, I think, was the promotion.
Foxy Lady was the name of the strip club.
Pick up your fucking...
And the slogan was Legs and Eggs.
Oh, they should have just gone with Legs and Eggs for the name of the strip club.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even fuck around with that?
Yeah. Well, I think if you come in the afternoon...
Who's going to a strip club to see Legs?
I don't know. Some people?
Yeah, I know.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Shaming.
Yeah. Depends on the rules of strip clubs.
Rules of
some
society.
Some places you can't be nude at all.
Yeah, it's just like bikini strip clubs.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
So the legs is...
Not in Rhode Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard anything goes in Rhode Island. That's their...
Well, they're not touching land. So there's it's really weird with federal laws there. Yeah. It's like, how far out to sea? Well, you just go to Rhode Island and it's like, that's international water.
Guys, Shaggy turned down an opportunity to collaborate with Rihanna. Because she asked if he could audition for the track.
Wait, what?
Rihanna asked Shaggy to audition for her.
When was this?
This is recent. This is the news.
So
this
wait, her album actually news. Is going to come out?
I mean, maybe she's still working on it.
I mean, it seems like maybe she is, but like, did Shaggy, is he the one who slowed the whole thing down?
Maybe. It's his response was, I didn't need to audition to be on the record. I'll leave that to the younger guys. I mean, this is the guy... This song, okay, it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
It was.
It's still not him.
I tried so hard to get a It Wasn't Me reference into the last season of Mystery Science Theater. Because I forget which episode it is. It might be Lords of the Deep, or someone says, it wasn't me. And like, I wanted everyone to go, she even coming in the bathroom? Like, just saying that. But it's like, Shaggy's got such a specific...
You forgive the woman access to your villa. Trespass on the weakness.
Acapella, it sounds great.
You better watch your back before she turn into a killer.
But here's the weird part. It wasn't me part.
To be a true player, you feel that comes up.
I remember it being a lot more exciting. Never admit, but check out how dead and if she claim in the soul it sounds.
But she caught me on the counter.
Wasn't me.
Saw me banging on the sofa.
Wasn't me.
I even had her in the shower.
The greats are good.
She even caught me on camera.
The greats are good.
Not enthusiastic.
Saw the marks on my shoulder.
The greats are good.
It's like he's going to war.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. Heard the screaming getting louder.
Wasn't me.
She stayed until it was over. Honey, get...
All right. Solid. So just I was like, I wonder what the acapella sounds like. That just, let's all do our own. One, two, three.
It wasn't me.
Hey. I was just trying to liven it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here's some great news. And it's a great flex too. I think Dolly Parton is preparing thousands of songs to be released after her death.
Wow.
Wait, what?
She's preparing thousands of songs to be released after her death.
Oh, I would love it if they were all like super fucking liberal.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck George Bush, you know, just like all the things that she's wanted to say over the years.
Oh,
what if it's just Jolene with a different name in it 1,000 times? So it's you got fucked over by a Jamie. I got you,
Jamie.
Oh, you got me. Adam fucked you over. Don't worry about it. I got you right here, right under A's.
She said the reason is this: I don't want to ever leave my stuff in the same shape. And this is the flex: I don't want to ever leave my stuff in the same shape like Prince or Aretha or anybody that don't plan ahead.
Ooh. Well,
that is a flex.
I mean,
yeah, that, yeah. Like, what's her stuff?
I mean, like, when you're a musician like her that's been around a long time, there's got to be tons of demos and like,
yeah, she was
half baked ideas. And,
sure.
And so just finish them up.
Even with that Sound of My Voice documentary on what's her name? Sorry, my blanking. The singer.
Adele.
No.
Aretha Franklin?
No. Who sang with Dolly Parton and...
Porter Whitney Wagner? Houston.
No. Come on, you guys. There's a documentary just came out. With Sound Dolly of Parton. My Voice. It was on...
10 feet from Stardom.
No.
Carol
no,
King
God, drive
with
me
Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Yeah, with even the stuff that she was doing her in that documentary, they were like, oh, we had like a bunch of throwaway songs that we were just like recording in the living room. And you're like, holy shit. There's like so many songs with like legends
that
just exist.
When that's your job, you're just doing that all the time. Like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, like that thing with the Beck where you talked about in the Warner Brothers fire. Like he lost basically like a record he did with the Sebado guys, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he did, you know, just stuff that's just gone.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Yeah, that would have been nice during that time too. But yeah, she's always been so smart, Dolly Parton.
She has.
To even just kind of go, it's like, and she's setting up her entire family.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen her live?
Never seen her live.
Yeah, I saw her last
time. So good.
Yeah. And Neil bought tickets and
I
couldn't
tickets
use
to go
them
with a girl, and then I didn't go. And I
like a 12-year-old.
His babysitter. She's the same age somehow.
My babysitter.
He hadn't had a bath in a long time.
And then I balked, and then we didn't go, and then I gave cash.
Yeah, with my girlfriend
got me
at the time.
The shirt.
Yep.
Dolly Parton for president.
Yep, it's a pretty sweet shirt. It was amazing. She played like 7 instruments during one song.
Yeah,
like she
did the saxophone solo.
Yakety sax.
I heard a bummer thing. Even though she can play it, apparently
it's not that. Yeah,
it's pre-recorded.
Yeah,
yeah. She's an older lady, and I don't know if you have that much breath. Especially Hollywood Bowl.
But it's
elevated.
A funny idea.
Yeah.
She pulls it off.
She pulls it.
She really does. She pulls up. The only thing that just from seeing so many comics and stuff like that, like hearing her do her in between patter, and it works really well, but it's also the same fucking patter she's used for like 35 years, where it's just like, granted, they're laughing a lot more at like the gay jokes, but like the the jokes designed for gay people, like they're not wink and nod anymore. There's actual, that was something I noticed. It was pretty cool.
So we're going to wrap up the music news segment with some quick hits. Justin Bieber reveals Lyme disease diagnosis and battle with chronic mono.
Oh, geez.
He'll open up about the compounding conditions in his forthcoming docuseries, Seasons.
Well,
I can't wait to binge the Bieber docuseries and the Kevin Hart docuseries.
Did he... Is this a Netflix?
Probably.
Like, okay.
If he's had reoccurring mono, just imagine how much shit he would get done if he was full strength all the time. Like, what's the top of the charts?
I didn't know that chronic mono was a thing.
I think that's just what you feel like when you have Lyme disease, though, right?
Yeah,
that's
I guess
the thing. It's like if you have Lyme disease, you just feel shitty all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you distinguish one from the other?
Exactly. What's that great joke from Wayne's World? Like, I thought I had mono for an entire year once, but it turns out I was just really bored.
Good joke.
The top 10 selling vinyl records of the decade goes as this: Lana Del Rey, Born to Die; Miles Davis, Kind of Blue; Fleetwood Mac, Rumors; The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's; Michael Jackson, Thriller; Amy Winehouse, Back to Black; Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend. That's a great sense album, so that's kind of hard. This is a sticking point I have from the movie I Am Legend, the Will Smith one, where he's like, you got to hear this. This is one of the best albums ever made. And he puts on Legend by Bob Marley. And I remember him being like, no shit, it's one of the best albums ever made. It's a fucking greatest hits record.
Yeah.
Put that on IMDb, you're like, movie flaws.
Exactly. Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix Volume 1 is number 3.
That's basically a greatest hits, too.
Just a mixtape.
Yeah, it's just a mixtape.
It's a soundtrack, yeah. Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. And number 1, Beatles, Abbey Road.
Wow. So Miles Davis is the oldest, because that was came out in 59. And then it's a couple of things from the 60s.
And then Amy Winehouse.
And then 70s for Bob Marley's.
Yeah. And then, Amy Winehouse.
Lana Del Rey.
And then Lana Del Rey, which was last year?
Or is Born to Die. No, that was her
big debut, breakout, whatever.
Yeah. Other than that, what's going on is Metallica, they pledge $500,000 to Australia Wildfire Relief. Elton John pledges $1 million. Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, pledged about $230,000.
Oh, Jesus.
I would love it. It was just like 228,616.39.
Well, he had to round it up to the money he made in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I think I'm going to donate as much money as I made while I was saying this.
Yes. We're going to take a break for a song. That is it for music news. When we come back, we're going to talk about what movies we want to make that are based off of a song. Until then, so get ready for that. Tune back in. Don't go anywhere. this is Cheekface, who did a great Talking Heads set at that show I went to the other night. And this is Listen to Your Heart. No.
I'm pulling weeds. The weeds are just some art I made. My canvas for anxiety. Think you could fall on that grenade? It's your internship and there's no pay. No room for cream, no room for error or for doubt. No holier than thou or thou. Maybe light snacks are all you need. A giant pretzel could make you feel better. Bored of the dance, I laughed in spite of myself. What side of bread is the side with the butter on it? Listen to your heart, keep on keeping on. Just say no to drugs, eat a healthy lunch. Drive outside the lines, pay your parking tickets. Buy one, get one free, turn the other cheek. Just because it's funny doesn't make it a joke. Now stop meditating and take me to go bowl. Use it till it's gone, keep on keeping on. Horse after the cart, listen to your heart. My Hall of Fame and panic is the sport I play. We always play on Saturday, you and I both in uniform. Wherever we go, we take our big ass folding chairs. It's a fantastic way to build a monument. A monument to out of them. Three-legged dogs don't seem to mind. Take a good idea and do it too much. Bored of the dance, I laughed in spite of myself. What side of bread is the side with the butter on it? Listen to your heart, keep on keeping on. Just say no to drugs, eat a healthy lunch. Draw outside the lines, pay your parking tickets. Buy one, get one free, turn the other cheek. Just because it's funny doesn't make it a joke. Now stop meditating and take me to go bowl. Use it till it's gone, keep on keeping on. Horse after the cart, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart.
Now. Hey, everybody. It's Cash here to talk to you about Audible. Well, we're just past the time of year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts for the people they care about. Well, now that it's God dang January, think about giving yourself the gift of an Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it. You get a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. You get to access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks. They got mystery, they got motivation, they got bestsellers, they got thrillers, and they got memoirs. You can choose 3 titles every month. You get 1 audiobook and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. You get to listen on your device anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or during those January holiday travels, if you're traveling for those January holidays. With Audible, you get to enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. You go to audible.com/radio or you text radio to 500-500. That's how you do it. Now, I've been talking about audiobooks, but the Audible originals are actually really kind of awesome, and that's who I'm featuring right now as that plane flies over. It is, I'm talking about Dr. Katz, the Audiophiles. If you loved the TV show and it introduced you to as many comedians in animated forms before you met them doing stand-up, this is an awesome sort of sequel that Audible Comedy has done with Dr. Katz, Dr. Jonathan Katz. He's probably actually not a doctor, but you get Sarah Silverman, you get Ray Romano, you get Ted Danson, you get Weird Al, H. John Benjamin, and friend of the show Laura Silverman are also on this. It's the same cast, just with great new comics with great new takes. And it is an Audible original. You can't get that anywhere else but Audible. And right now, for a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. You get one audiobook and two Audible originals. So you get this Dr. Katz thing and another thing. Their Audible original comedy is something else. They got a lot of really cool stuff. So just hit up audible.com/radio or text radio to 500-500. All right. All right, everybody, this is for the real ones. We're going to keep it quick. If you don't skip over my Audible reads, you get a little head start on this. Head over to jonahradio.merchtable.com to check out a sneak peek of what we're going to be talking about next week and maybe get your orders in earlier. That's jonahradio.merchtable.com, just for the real ones.
Hello, this is Paul McCartney, and you're listening to Jonah Radio. Yeah.
All right, we are back. April Wolf is still with us. And someone that, you know, wrote a horror movie. And did you, when you write, do you listen to music?
No.
You don't? You have to have it be silent.
Which is the thing that kind of sucks. I can have music on, it doesn't matter, because my husband's always playing records when he's editing in the house, but I write in silence most of the time, and it unnerves him because I'm just very quiet for 10 hours straight, and he's like, what are you doing in there?
You alive, Ben? You alive? You all right in there? You are? That's me. I like noise and stuff happening in my house. Deanna very much loves silence, and she's, you know, kind of that introvert that needs a lack of, you know, input.
The stimulus is, I like things afterwards. Like, I love just getting super drunk after 10 hours of being silent and then listening to records. That's awesome. But like, while I'm working, I never think to put it on.
So. Yeah. But with that, it's, I thought it would, I was, this is what's funny. I was thinking about what a game we could play with this, and I had a mix on, and I said, "Oh, you know, it'd be really neat. Like, if we were to take a song, and what song would we choose to base a movie off of?" And then when I pitched that to you, you said, "Like, it's like, well, I'm not going to say something basic like The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald," and that was literally the song that was on. When I thought of it, I was like, well, it's not going to be my choice.
But
I did feel real basic.
It's the inspiration. Yeah.
There's no horror writer alive who doesn't want to adapt The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. It's all about how the lake doesn't give up its fucking dead. It's like, come on.
Oh, God damn it.
And there's also a funny story, too, in 2010, that he had to rewrite some of the lyrics because there was a documentary show that proved that there wasn't human error that caused the wreck. And people got really mad because his song suggests lightly that there is. So so when he toured, he was changing the lyrics slightly.
Wow.
And I like the new lyric. It's great.
That would be so funny. People start getting upset. It's like, to say that MacArthur Park is frightening in the dark is very problematic to the homeless situation. So if you could say that MacArthur Park is nice and needs some work.
Is up and coming.
And when they dredged that lake, they found a bunch of knives and bodies.
Did they already do it?
Yeah.
They found bodies? Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah, it was like skeletons.
Wait, where's MacArthur Park?
MacArthur Park's.
Oh, yeah, it's the heroin
just
place.
Just north of downtown.
Because that was what everyone was saying was going to happen with Echo Park. Like, and then
it was just tires.
It was tires.
They thought they were going to find bodies there, but they didn't. And they found bicycles and guns. And
shopping carts, right?
And shopping carts.
Yeah.
But MacArthur Park, they found, human beings.
Jesus.
Oh, that's a lucky lake.
Well, that's a lucky
lake. Left the cake out in the rain.
All right, Neil, let's go with you first.
Oh, okay. So this was my pick. I didn't have a lot of time because I... That's not the one.
No.
There it is. I was working today, so I didn't have a lot of time to pick a song. But I think
love the way you rub your employment in my face.
Well, this is kind of like a creepy song. It's called Kill Jill. It's from Big Boy's solo record that came out 2 years ago.
So what's the movie? Polo to the floater.
You already know. Oh, it'd be like a Kill Bill type. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of time to think of anything.
Get old last night.
Well, no, I was asleep last night.
Check the text. What time did you go to sleep?
Like 8.
Oh.
Like I really ripped it.
All right. If you were to just kind of think of a...
I just like the...
Yes, I know you like the sample he's using.
Well, no. Killer Mike says, polo to the floor, though.
Okay.
I just like the idea. It's like, he's so psyched about wearing Ralph Lauren clothing.
You were so upset. You're like, wait. I thought it was supposed to be a horror movie. Like they were basing us off the song.
Yeah, I guess I'm the asshole now.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
that's something. That's something.
I'll go next.
You want to go next?
So I picked a Zeal and Ardor song. I was like, I had like a lot of like, I was like, it's like maybe this song could work, maybe this song could work. Like, you know, I was like Hyper Ballad by Bjork. I thought that's like, oh, that could be some kind of thing because just the tone of it. And Pepper by Butthole Surfers, because it's just all about, you know, kids fucking dying and stuff like that. Walking with the Killer by the Breeders, pretty easy. But then I remembered this song, Blood in the River, from the album Devil is Fine by Zeal and Ardor.
A good guy's a dead one. A good guy's the one that brings the fire. A good guy's a dead one.
So,
a good guy's the one that brings the fire.
So he's saying, a good God is a dead one. So this is the story of a bunch of slaves in the slave times that they tried. A pastor comes and tries to teach them about Christianity and tries to convert them. And when they realize that there's this God and maybe this, and like all the people that enslaved them believe in this God, they go on a like a dimensional quest to go and destroy the Christian God.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah, that's like maybe they get run over by a train or like some bad happens and so they kind of.
Yeah. The budget is like about 30-40 mil.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that would, I think, it's like, and you know, that's, of course, you would also use that trailer for the, that song for the trailer and something like that. So that was mine. That was like, and all the other ones I was like, it was like, oh, it's a creepy, it's a guy that likes a girl too much. No, like every song was something like that for me. Like, the Hyper Ballad one was about a woman cursed to kill herself. By throwing her off a cliff over and over again. It was, I guess it was like live, die, repeat. Until she figures out like that this guy is no good for her.
Yeah. Rom-com.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Cash.
Happy death day to you, but for Valentine's. So my, speaking of Northern California, my story starts at the...
Wait, who's...
We were talking about Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah. My story starts in Salinas, where a group of a group of United Farm Workers, Democratic Socialists, have joined up at the Steinbeck Center to bring together labor leaders to talk about the future. And they're hanging out, and it goes past the convention, and they're drinking, and they start raging about the overwhelming income disparity, about how labor has fallen apart. And they start drinking, and they start tearing up this town of Salinas and drinking in Mexican bars and drinking tequila. And before you know it, there's down to like the last three of them, but they're raging and they're raging and they're raging. And they end up in the backyard somewhere of a fire. And at the fire is a bruja, a witch, a Mexican witch. And she hears about all their pain and all of their rage at the man. And she says, "I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to create someone who's going to make up for that justice that you're always screaming about. Do you have anything that would help me pull this monster out that we can use to bring justice back to the world?" And they say, "Yes, we do. We have this copy of this book, The Grapes of Wrath." And at the end, there's a very... And this bruja goes in the back with this book, and she pulls up the speech from Tom Joad to his mob before he disappears into the wilderness of Salinas.
Rage Against the Machine doing Ghost of Tom Joad. By
Bruce Springsteen. And they create this monster that starts reaping through the first Salinas and the farm territories.
Cover.
Yes.
Okay.
First the farm territories, but then north into San Jose, and above San Jose, Palo Alto. And before you know it, all these tech billionaires are turning up dead.
Holy moly, that
and was Uber cool. And Lyft and DoorDash.
At least it was a road. Let him finish.
All end up dead. And it didn't have an ending for it.
God damn it.
That was we got a horror writer here. How do I do that? How do I end this movie?
There's got to be a twist.
I can't quite think of the twist.
2020, there's got to be a twist. Yeah.
But just tech executives ending up dead. tech executives ending up dead. That's not like a good ending. Can't we like just roll that out into the end of the world?
End it with a musical number, you know.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I also like it because there's the Bruce Springsteen version of the song, the Rage Against the Machine version of the song, and both of them can be reflected. You know, kind of like Jordan Peele did with I Got Five on it.
But does Killer Mike show up on the track?
He does not. That's a good point. I should do that.
Would have been better if he did.
All right, that leaves April.
All right.
You can set it up. You can tell me when you want me to start playing it.
I'll set up with the fact that like I feel like a lot of my career of writing has been about obsessive love that goes wrong. Whoa. I'm very into really toxic obsessive love. I used to sing and write songs for a band called Just Desperation, and it was like a performance art band where it was me and my friend Aaron dressed
up
in
costumes. The band was called Just Desperation?
Yeah, and we did a thing where it was just like all of our shtick, our songs were all about loving a boy so much that we have to kill him. And there was like one that we did called If I Have You, I Won't Ever Have a Boyfriend, where like it's about our love together as friends and how we keep accidentally cock blocking each other, so we have to literally split a boyfriend between us, like vivisect him to be together.
Where is this? Is this in Oakland, or
this is in Boise? Yeah, but it was like 60s girl group like harmonies, but with an electropunk sound underneath it. And it was like,
so like what era is this, like Tracy and the Plastics kind of
it was post that.
Okay.
Yeah this was like maybe 2006 2007. Oh, shit. So it was a little bit after
I
that
I hear this band.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that we made all the recordings, but I was in a bad relationship with a guy who, when he got mad with me, he destroyed them
all.
He destroyed them all and became a sound guy for a traveling laser light show.
God.
Wow, but he then, showed you.
But this then he became amazing. The drummer for Built to Spill, so it was...
Oh my God! And then he got fired, because now Built to Spill has those Brazilian dudes.
Yeah, so...
So you win!
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's a... Okay, it was... There's a long story, but Obsessive Love...
I also
love,
like the idea that you trashed my demos?
Obsessive Love, and so I have always wanted to work with Electra Lane. Now, I mean, RIP, they're not, you know, together anymore, but the album No Shouts, No Calls was very instrumental for me. Of like, it's just a breakup album that has the best... like song structure and mm-hmm. and the song arrangements and mm-hmm. and yeah, so great. But essentially the one that I picked was the first song from that album, and it is essentially saying that this woman wants to like always have her eye on her girlfriend who moved away. And she's like, we're still in love, we're still in love, while her girlfriend's like got this own kind of thing going on. And she's like, no, I'm going to bring you back, or I'll come to you. I'll come to you to where you are. and like, she's always got her eye on her. And so like, to me, I think it's just like essentially kind of kidnapping this woman. And like, she thinks that she's still in love, and like kind of playing this out like in her house of like, they have this relationship together. But like, it's not that at all. So yeah. It's like a captivity horror.
That's nice. I like
that's
that.
That's cool.
It's cheaper than mine.
Yeah.
I write for low budget.
Yeah, I'm just an idea guy.
No, yeah, just
go kill the Christian guy.
Yeah. Did you happen great. To watch like American Crime, the second season, Assassination of Gianni Versace?
I didn't see that. No.
There's the way they it's really good, but what you're talking about, that like weird captured sort of situation, mirrors the what went on with that, what actually went on with the crime, was like way before he killed Versace, he killed a guy that was dating his ex-boyfriend and then took his ex-boyfriend on a trip with him for a while. And it's that there's a lot of scenes in that where it's sort of like, yes, we're together and we're in love, but I'm also terrified because you killed that guy. Yeah. And I don't, and the only person I have to talk to you is you about it. And that's, it's really, really cool and very along the same lines. I'm not accusing you of stealing from something you've never seen. I'm saying that it's along the same way.
Look,
you wouldn't even thought that if I didn't say it.
We're all stealing something from someone. It's like, I think that people are like, they're all like, originality. I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like, we're all
I enjoy
stealing
it
from
when
something
I can go
else.
Like, that's Indiana Jones.
Well, it's like, I got excited that Jojo Rabbit got nominated for a bunch of stuff, and some guy's like, I guess if you like Wes Anderson. I was like, all right, fine. If you think bright colors and like symmetrical shots is what all Wes Anderson is, then you clearly like, can go fuck yourself. Like, it's just like, it's like something so, like, you know, like, it's just picking like a certain like look.
Yeah.
And then just saying, like, it's a ripoff.
I think you're right, Jonah. We should take movies away from most people and like let only certain people watch movies.
That would be so great.
Watch movies. But like, it's like when I get excited because like a movie I like, you know, got a lot of recognition, and then someone will go like, I guess if you like, it's like, nah, I don't need to hear your shit.
I think, you know, there's a thing in social media, or if you talk to people, like, people just want to fucking hate things, especially movies right now. You're just like, I loved letting people hate Black Christmas because I was just like, it makes me stronger. Yeah. I just take screenshots of everything you say and send it to my friends, and we laugh and we laugh.
That does remind me, you guys are always welcome to give us,
iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, because we got a really great one.
Did we?
Just recently, yeah. It's from Gnarly Time. It gives us 1 star.
Oh, no. Boy.
It says, terrible podcast.
Oh.
Terrible, absolutely terrifying. Thanks for that, Gnarly Time. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely terrifying.
But that is it for our show. April Love, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was very fun.
Thank you for your time. You have a button for that if you want to.
Yeah, but he mixed me down.
He likes practical effects sometimes.
He's a real Rick Baker.
Where can people find you if you want them to on social media?
If you would like to find me and you're nice, then you can go to A Wolfful, like like a handful, but it's a wolf full.
I don't
just search for my name. It's April Wolf. It's on there. I have a blue and white check mark, so it makes it easier.
Oh, look at you.
I know. But the reason reason is because there's like two other April Wolves who like have similar politics to me and are also writers. And so I'm just like, I feel bad when they get, because they've been getting hate mail for Black Christmas. And I just feel bad. So I'm like, I'm different. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'll just separate myself somehow.
You gotta send them. You guys are gonna hear some shit about this. Here's two tickets. You go make up your own mind. So at least you know what they're talking about when they come to you.
Just don't go to Southgate to watch it.
There's a soccer scout that has my name.
Oh,
it's very popular.
So that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Where's he from?
Ireland.
Ooh.
Ooh, football scout.
Football, yeah. Soccer, football.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you read his Twitter account from.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We didn't stick the landing.
But we had trouble taking off.
It was a great flight.
Bumps along the way. We're going to wrap it up. If you want your music played on this podcast, email it to us. Mm-hmm. JonahRadio, RAYDIO at gmail.com. Also, if you want to do a station ID in a terrible impression voice, send that to us as well. We're gonna have some shirt thing going on. Dana Lechtenberg was supposed to send me something.
We're gonna have some shirt thing going on.
Yeah, we're gonna do like a shirt, like shirts of the month thing. It's like all the designs that Dana Lechtenberg made over the years. He's gonna be putting them out like a month at a time.
Oh, that's cool.
Like if you don't get it in that time, you don't get it at all. Shout out to our new social media manager.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say. Thank you so much for all the hard work you've been doing. Yeah. And tell your friends about the show and follow April. And then when does it come out on VOD?
Oh my God. Probably like March, I guess.
Yeah, just in time.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, cool. Thank you so much for joining us. And then this is a song by Wish Granters, which has Mike Felix from Toys That Kill and Underground Railroad and Clown Sounds. He's playing with Mike Watt in this band. This is Still Thinking of You. Thanks so much.